Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of production, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And joining us as she does every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, our great friend, executive director of the Southwood County Humane Society, Madison Rafter.
Good morning.
Morning, Madison. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're doing all right. We appreciate you being in studio and stopping by here. It's always good to see you. Madison, how are things going over at the shop? How are things at the Humane Society?
We are full.
Yeah.
I think I filled my last dog and cat kennel over the weekend,
so boy.
We are full. Lots of animals. Kitten season is not slowing down. We're still putting moms and babies into foster, so we are full.
I can't imagine how taxing it can be, and I don't think many of us, unless we've worked in that environment, we can. And so one of the things we like to do here is give you a brief break and make you smile, laugh a little bit, and share a good story. And I'm going to start grabbing more and more of these because they're not hard to find. They're all over the place, and encourage others to check them out, too. Did you see this one about firefighters rescuing a dog that was stranded on a roof?
No.
There's some video that goes along with it. It is so awesome. It is a very cool story. I encourage people to go ahead and look into it. It's just interesting. And this dog, I don't know how the dog got stuck on the roof, but the Victoria Fire Department said the Ladder 1 crew responded to a call about an animal in distress in the Oakland area, and they arrived to find the dog standing on this roof. And they were so scared of the dog leaving or something like that, but they calmed him down before putting the ladder up there. And I thought that was such an interesting thing. And they only knew that because both of the firefighters were dog owners.
Okay.
How about that?
And
wow.
They understood, we can't just throw the ladder up there and just go willy-nilly up there and everything. They've got to make sure the dog is calm and collected. And I thought it was a pretty cool story.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, encourage people to check that out.
I have to ask, was it a husky?
It's such a good question. It's such a great question. That's so good. The dog's name was Lucky.
Jeez.
I was waiting on that part.
Nice.
I wanted to get that. It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't say.
I was going to say, if it was a husky, it would not shock me that it was on a roof.
I'm going to let the video play here a little bit to see if it'll show me or not. But, it's not a husky. See? I'm not sure what kind of dog that is. I don't know. Well, you can see that, Seth.
It looks like some sort of hound or lab or pity.
Yeah.
No, that's a pity.
Yeah.
That's a pity.
Yeah. It's right on the edge. No wonder they were worried.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And good on those firefighters for them doing that and everything. They are heroes, just like our friends at the Humane Society are doing so much for our furry friends. Who is our newest furry friend to add to the Pet of the Week collection?
Our Pet of the Week this week is Booger.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Booger is a one-year-old cat. He was brought to us for an owner surrender due to health reasons. No fault of the cat at all. Booger is I'd say medium-haired, brown and black tabby boy. He is definitely a little timid, but he is 11 and a half pounds as well, so he is a big boy.
Mm.
Once he's comfortable, he just wants to snuggle. He wants to cuddle. He will crawl on your shoulder, and he just wants to lay there. He wants to be carried. He wants to lay around, and he is just an absolute love.
It's a Garfield.
Yes.
Yeah, very much.
He did come in with the name, so I can't take credit for naming him or any of my staff, he's got a great name.
Does he have all of his shots, all those things?
Yep, so he is up to date on vaccines, microchipped, and neutered. With him, he potentially could do well in a home with other cats. We're not sure about dogs, as he hasn't lived in a home with them, but he did previously live in a home with kids, and he did well with them.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Is there a certain type of home that would be great for him, or just in general, any place it would be a good place?
Yeah, I think any place would be a good place for him. I think it's one of those things, he definitely just needs a little bit of time to decompress. When he first meets new people, he can be very timid of them and very shy of them, especially in the shelter environment. The previous owner's behavior of him and the history that we have, they said he normally isn't like that, so we're assuming that the shelter environment has just given him a little bit of a shock that he's like, I'm not 100% comfortable here. So he definitely needs a little bit of time, but once he has that time to decompress, will be perfect.
Medicine is, in every breed, every animal is different, and it's important to realize that. They're no different than us. Every human being is different, but on average, What would you say is a good time frame to understand if an animal is a good fit or if it's just not going to work and you kind of have to figure things out from there?
Yeah. When it comes down to cats in particular, when I'm sending any animal home, I always recommend cats in particular. You set them up in a room and you leave them for 3 days. 3 days. You can go in there to clean litter box, go in there to feed them, things like that. But 3 days is usually a good rough, hey, this is 3 days of time to decompress. Some may need longer, some may not need longer, but we always follow a 3-3-3 rule with the shelter. So 3 days in a home environment just to decompress of, wow, this is scary, this is a new place. 3 weeks to start getting into a routine of I'm comfortable of, hey, you know what, I think this is how we do things. This is kind of the process of we're going. And then 3 months to be fully acclimated into a home environment. Again, that is just a very basic rule, and a lot of animals could need a lot more time than that, and some could need less than that. So it kind of depends on the animal, but that's usually the rule we follow.
Thank you for that. It's a good barometer, and I think that makes a lot of sense to us. Are there things that we can do to help over there at the Humane Society, things that you are more in need of than others?
Yeah, we are in desperate need of a lot of supplies right now. Kitten wet food, senior cat wet food, sensitive skin and stomach dog food, copy paper. We posted a huge list yesterday of things we're very short on right now.
Be sure to follow the Humane Society's website, Facebook page, and certainly follow them on social media and find out more by going to their website. Madison, thank you so, so much for the time. We greatly appreciate you. We're looking forward to talking with you again next Thursday. Again, tell us about our pet of the week one more time.
It's going to be Booger. Booger is a one-year-old domestic medium hair cat. He is up to date on vaccines, microchipped, and neutered.
Is Booger, can we see Booger on the website? I had to say that sentence out loud. Okay. Fantastic.
James, if you look, you probably see several Boogers on the website.
They're stuck. That was bad. Head on over to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Reach out to our Humane Society. Any opportunity you have to put back into things that the Humane Society helps them do the vital work they are doing. Mm-hmm. Always good to see you, Madison. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll come back and have some more fun with some entertainment. And plenty more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time to have some fun, get into a little bit of entertainment news. Seth and James here with you. And again, a big shout out to Madison Rafter, our friends at the Humane Society.
Yeah, it would be nice to walk on some sunshine. Where? Sunshine? Anywhere?
Yeah.
Can we get some sunshine?
Just a little. Just a little bit of sunshine. It is getting sunny in the writers' rooms across the country right now. For those that did not hear, the writer's strike has ended.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, Seth, you were giving me a bit of credit about Damian Lillard going to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about that, but I appreciate you saying it. If anybody wants to give me credit, though, about this, I'll take it.
Okay.
I done told you people. Was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of details about this real quick. In addition to raises, writers secured a 76% increase in foreign streaming residuals, according to the Writers Guild. So what that means is that, say, Netflix is doing well, better in Europe than it is here.
Right.
In years past, the writers, the actors, really the whole entertainment industry did not know the information. The vital information of the streaming stuff. All we knew was what Netflix told us. We didn't actually have any details on this. Now they have to share this information. They have to actually share the real data, the real reporting. Hey, this show is doing this well. This show is not doing that well. The amount of writers in a room on a series where it was before, I can hire. Look at Family Guy, for example.
Okay.
Family Guy literally has 100 writers on their shows. I'm not exaggerating. That is not a far-fetched number. That is the actual number of writers on that show. Now, how many of them get paid for every episode or that? That's a whole other story.
Right, right.
Now, you have to have a minimum. If you have a show that is going to be 6 episodes or longer, you have to have at least 5 writers on that show. That solidifies and gives some concrete steadiness to this industry.
Right. And it keeps writers from working insanely stupid hours on a show. Because, it's also a workplace environment issue, too. You have to keep that in mind as well.
The three-year deal outlines a 12.5% pay increase, starting with 5% upon the contract's ratification. The following 2 years, writers will receive 4% of that increase. There is an AI situation here where AI cannot write scripts now. So say I want to do War of the Worlds. I want to do a remake of War of the Worlds. All I got to do is throw into ChatGPT, H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds.
Right.
And it will come up with a script for me.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get away with that now.
Yeah.
Or if I'm an author of I wrote The Grapes of Wrath and they want to turn that into a movie. They can put it into ChatGPT, kick it out there, and I don't get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to do with that. They can't do that anymore.
Right.
The idea of AI being an assistant is one thing. The AI being a main writer, that is gone. That is not going to happen. Rewrites are not going to be done by AI.
No.
These kind of things. AI is going to be used the way it was intended, as an assistant, if at all.
Yeah, right.
If at all. A lot of this may not mean a lot to you out there, and I get that. But if you care about workers, you should care about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big day. It's interesting. This is also a great sign to people out there who are in middle class or rooting for the little guy or any of these things. Because make no mistake about it, that's what the writers were in this situation.
Yep.
The idea of... So the producers, we heard the guy from Netflix say this.
Yep.
We're gonna this is a game of chicken, and we're gonna do this. They'll come to the writers, they'll come to us because they're gonna have to start selling their houses and everything. And as they were saying this, they look out back and wait a minute, the repo man's coming for my stuff. Because it actually turned out that it was them that were losing things. It was them that had their boards of directors reaching out to them and saying, hey, why don't we have new content? Where's our new stuff? Well, we got plenty in the box over here. Oh, wait. 5 months, we burned through it all.
Oh, yeah.
We burned through everything.
We'll through it fast.
So they blinked first, like I told you they would. Of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that proudly, not because I want people to suffer, but because I want people to get what they justfully deserve.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The writers were not looking to become millionaires off of this. They were writing. They were doing this to get some standing in this industry.
Right.
That's the only way things get done. You can't expect owners and bosses and CEOs to make the right call. I got into this with Representative Krug when it came to minimum wage. His argument, the argument by a lot of people, is, well, the market will correct itself. The market will take care of itself. You trust the top 1% to do the right thing?
No.
You really think that's going to happen? That ain't how these things work. The only way change happens is when people are forced to make change.
Mm-hmm.
We can't trust the person having a good heart or a moral compass or something like that. We never could. We damn sure can't going forward.
No.
You gotta have some rules and regulations for these things. I know how much people hate government. I am with you on a lot of that. But we have government for a reason. You can't have it two ways. You can't have it both ways. We all agree, democracy, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. Seems to be working out.
Yeah.
I want to keep, this experiment going.
Right. Also incredibly messy.
Yes.
It's not going to be streamlined and that sort of thing. No, this is very much a situation where you had a bunch of very out of touch people.
Yeah.
Thinking, that statement that the Netflix guy made is just a great example of it. How many writers have big mansions? Like what, 10%, that?
Yeah.
I mean, he was thinking of is the well-paid ones, the big name ones and stuff like that. Not the 90% that are barely making it, trying to go make a living at this thing. And so, and it's going around. We're hearing it all over now. You got the Granger guy, saying his stupid stuff.
Oh my God!
You've got now you're seeing it. Everybody, all these waves of strikes.
Yep.
And it's only going to get more. It's going to happen more. So, buckle in, everybody, because we're going to be seeing a lot of it.
I will say that I think that it is a matter of time now that you will see the actor strike end.
Yep. And that's a good distinction to make. The actors are still on strike, too.
Mm-hmm.
This was just the writers.
Part of the reason they were on strike is part of this, is to get to this point. So now that we have gotten to this point, I do think that we will see that be, fixed.
I think the negotiations will go quicker now because of the this part.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This doesn't... And I'm not saying this. I know that coming from a SAG member that this is going to sound bad, but this doesn't happen without the actors also striking.
You're right.
This shows the importance of, well, why is it that, you know, a bunch of union workers for the auto industry are striking with a bunch of teachers? You know, I think people wonder about these things sometimes. For the very basicness of a sentence I say almost every day on this radio station, we are stronger together.
Mm-hmm.
All yep. these things out there that try to divide us, to try to separate us, look at the people that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their intentions. They ain't about you. They ain't even about anything good.
No, this.
It's something selfish, or it's something where it's putting money in their pocket yep. or something like that.
Exactly.
And going forward, especially with the big elections coming up and everything, I really think that people should demand out of their politicians, get something done,
mm-hmm.
get some things done,
yeah.
And start working with each other. They're doing this. Oh, they're doing this. They're doing that. Blah. I'm tired of it. I don't care. Get it done. Get it done. Or you will be replaced. Is there a job out there that cannot be replaced? Is there any positions out there? I would say teachers. I would say certain doctors. I think there are some things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Politician is not one of them.
Our whole system is predicated on replacing them when they're not doing their job.
There's an old adage about writers that you could put 100 monkeys and 100 typewriters in a room and get Shakespeare.
Right.
You could damn sure do it with politicians. We can get a monkey to do your job.
They couldn't make it any worse. Let's put it that way.
We've had dogs as mayors of cities. We can get animals to do these jobs. And they probably won't bicker as much.
Yeah.
They probably won't even throw as much feces. We can do this. It can be done. So get the job done. Otherwise, you will be replaced.
I'm sorry, James. That was a very uncalled for the trashing of monkeys, which I am fully behind.
I would like to apologize to all the orangutans listening out there.
No, don't.
Talking a little more entertainment here as we get you ready for Melissa's news. It is almost Sunday, and NFL fans, you should probably know, Taylor Swift is going to be at another game.
Oh, no.
Taylor's expected to be in-house with when Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs take on the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. That's just a heads up. This is not going away anytime soon. In fact, even when they break up, it won't go away because she'll write a song about it, and then it'll be another thing, and you'll have that. I don't think he knows what he's getting himself into. I really don't.
I so want the song Travis Kelce Sucks. Now I want that song. I want Taylor Swift to write that song.
Unless he is planning to marry her and stay with her the rest of his life, he...
Man, not going to happen.
Spoiler alert, that is not
going to happen.
I don't think he... I really don't think he can fathom what he's getting himself into.
He's a well-known NFL football player. He has just reached level... 9.
Yeah.
He's gone from that to 9. Yeah, you're right. He has no idea.
We talk about this, especially as sports people, and they love sports. Oh, everybody knows this person. No, they don't. Now they do. The kind of fame that she brings, the NFL, which is the biggest game in town, and everybody, you look at the ratings every year at the end of the year, the Super Bowl, this AFC Championship game, all that stuff is the highest in the ratings. They have never seen the type of pull that they got from Taylor Swift just showing up at a game. The jersey sales of Travis Kelce.
I know.
A tight end has the number one selling jersey. A tight end is doing all this.
On a team with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even think I can wrap my brain around the type of fame that that kid has. It's impressive.
It's insane.
Whatever you think of her, it is impressive. It is very, very
The way she's handled it, too. I got to give her credit for that.
Yeah, I think that when you are that much in the public eye and people are just scraping mm-hmm. and looking for anything to tear you down, and they haven't found it, that there isn't that, it's a good point that she has handled herself in the public eye very well.
Mm-hmm.
The late night shows are coming back.
Should I be happy?
What good would it have done for Bill Maher to come back a week early? Like, what are you doing? You know? He can't get out of his own way. He becomes more and more the guy, the old man yelling at Cloud, the more we hear from him.
Yeah.
So he...
you don't have to listen to him anyway anymore.
No.
You don't pay attention.
Jimmy Fallon burned a billion bridges. He's coming back, too. Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, they are also returning. They will return Monday night. John Oliver's Last Week Tonight returns to HBO on Sunday. Yes. The Daily Show will also be returning, but not until October 16th. It will have guest hosts through the rest of the year and a permanent one next year.
Okay. All right.
Still trying for that gig. They don't know who I am, and I don't even think that they've gotten my resume, but I'm trying for that gig.
You can do a decent Jon Stewart, you know. You can pull it off, I think.
I am a poor man's Jon Stewart, yes, if there ever was. Yes. If there ever was. I love that show.
I think you're taller than him, though.
I maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the Italian genes. That's where that comes from. I think that whoever the next host is, they're going to pick a good one. They've got great candidates. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. It's good to have the writers back. It's good to have the shows back. And it's just good to for content-wise, and especially – I don't know about you guys out there. I was curious about this. For me, as soon as school started, that's when I knew the shows were coming back. And to this day, I tie these two situations together.
Interesting.
And nowadays, it ain't like when we were kids, where the beginning of August was oftentimes the start of school or the start of the TV season.
Yeah, where they actually had a season, quote unquote. Yeah.
Now, because of sports and these kind of things, a lot of stuff starts in October or later. Sometimes,
November sometimes, you
know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing. But for me, I think, and I don't know if old school people out there or not, maybe, if they do that. I know I do.
Yeah.
I wanted to wrap up on this one. We're wrapping up with the boss. Bruce Springsteen is postponing the rest of his tour dates for 2023 as he continues to battle pediatric ulcer disease.
Ooh.
Rescheduled dates will be announced next week. He issued a statement saying, quote, "Thanks to all my friends and fans for the good wishes, encouragement, and support. I'm on the mend and can't wait to see you all next year." Earlier this month, Bruce had to postpone all of his September shows, but obviously he needs more time. Yeah. He is 74.
He's 74? Man.
I mean, it's not as if he has to do this. He's doing it because he loves to. I give him a lot of credit.
Put on three-hour shows, man. I mean, I'm telling you.
Give you a lot of credit.
God'll give him a lot of credit. Yeah.
I wish him well.
Me too.
I hope he feels up quick. We're going to take a break, get to Melissa's news, real time. We're really playing it this time. That was just the tease before. Now it's the real thing.
Yeah.
Here's Melissa with the news on WFHR, locally grown. And I'll be honest with you guys. I almost said Wiz Country. I did. I almost said the wrong call letters.
Dude, it's easy. You do two stations. It's a blur. It's all a blur in the end, man.
Right here on 23.4. No. Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Oh, one of the best voices you'll ever hear.
I love that. Cup of ambition. That's a great line, man.
She has got so many great, like, just line. It's hard to keep track of how many great lines she has.
Oh, man.
We're hoping to be joined by a sports czar, sports director around here, Mike Clemens.
Yeah.
Want to preview the game tonight, of course, Thursday night action for you. Detroit, Green Bay.
This should be a good one, yeah.
Oh, it's got to be a good one.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if this isn't a good game tonight. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to Mike joining us hopefully soon.
He's a busy guy right now, so he's been calling into a lot of stations today to get set up.
Yeah.
So, and then he's got to do some traveling too. So,
But we do have great high school football action for you this Friday on our sister station, Wiz Country 105.5 WIRI.
You know, I want to do a quick preview of that. I know it's been a rough year for the Red Raiders so far, but I got to tell you, that game last week against DC Everest was a good game. It came down to the very end of the game, the last play of the game, basically. So I'm hoping that they've turned a corner, and they were looking pretty good. Especially their offense was looking pretty good on Friday.
It only takes one. You get one win, and you know, your whole season can turn around from that. Be sure to join us tomorrow. Our pregame will kick off at 6:40. Lincoln hosting Marshfield. Randy Paul on the call, y'all.
Yeah.
Good to have Randy back.
Yeah.
His partner in crime over there, Michael, doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Michael's going to be working with him, too.
Yep.
What did you say Michael wanted to call this? I like this.
The Battle for Wood County.
I like that.
Yeah. He's trying to get it going, so we can help him out there. Yeah.
Seth right there, going to be making sure the boys sound good. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, Seth. Thanks so much for covering these games.
No problem.
Catch all your great high school action on Wiz Country 105.5 WIRI all season long, and get ready, before you know it, basketball season.
Nice. Coming up quick.
Royals and that. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're just waiting on Mike here.
Yep.
This is sort of a sports topic. We're going to talk Gatorade.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, it's a reach. It's a reach.
It's a reach. But you know, all the athletes that have been spokespeople for Gatorade over the years, it's a sports thing.
It's a reach. I admit it. I understand. Gatorade has announced a new product, and it's not a neon-colored thirst quencher drink that's a billion flavors combined or whatever. It's an energy drink, and it's a protein shake, and it's water. We'll get into that a little bit later if we can, but right now sports director here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, joining us right now. Mike, good morning.
Hey, James,
how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good to hear Mike. We got you on to preview the game tonight between Detroit and Green Bay, but I can't have a sports director on and not talk about this trade that went down yesterday. This is gigantic, Mike. I don't want to get into this with you or anything, but I may have had this before anybody else, Mike.
I think he did.
No, I took a guess and I got lucky.
Well,
that's
all. When are you guys going to get over this Josh Hader thing, man? Come on, they've moved on.
That little thing, Mike. And I know you only have so much time, sir. I don't want to waste that time, but got to talk about this.
Here's a timeline. You have the number one seed team. You go up against a series against the Heat. People are saying, Bucks in five. Yeah, Bucks were done in five. Jimmy Butler went off. Mike Budenholzer refused to put a double team on the guy. Mm-hmm. Former owner Mark Lasry, in an interview that I was kind of a part of, a few months after Jimmy had taken over, Jimmy Haslam from the Cleveland Browns had taken over, and he said, there were times with Mike Budenholzer, where there'd be some guy who would be really hot, and he would just let him go, and the guy might get up to 30 points or more, maybe like you're playing the Bulls. And yet, he said, we won the game, and you'd say, Mike, why didn't you make some changes on that guy? He says, because I knew he'd wear himself out by the fourth quarter. Well, and it worked that night, but it didn't in the series against the Heat. And in the middle of all that series, too, before game four, Mike finds out that his brother's been killed in a car crash. So he's going through that as well. Anyway, even though this guy took you to a championship, they move on. They hire Adrian Griffin. And then during that series, Giannis goes down, falls hard on the court with a back injury, starts missing three or four games there in the middle. Drew Holiday doesn't exactly step up what you need in terms of the points, like maybe 19 points a game or so. So the summer goes by, and they re-sign Brooke, they re-sign Chris Middleton, and then you're thinking, okay, all right, they're bringing the team back, and that's got to make Giannis Antetokounmpo happy, because in September he's got to make an extension decision. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing said as the season goes on. Adrian Griffin is now, the star of the show, and he's hired a new coaching staff, and including Terry Stotts, former Bucks head coach, who's now been out in Portland for the last several years as an assistant. So you get to August, and here pops up Giannis in the New York Times saying, "I love Milwaukee. It's great we won the championship, but I'll tell you, there isn't a franchise I'm going to play for if I don't feel that everybody is all in the building." And, there's an interview that Pat Connaughton did. He said, "I remember when I first came to the Bucks, I'm a workaholic. I'm a gym guy. I'm not that naturally gifted. I have to work harder. So I was back there after we'd had practice during the day, took a dinner, took a nap, came back, 7, 8 o'clock, I'm in the court, and I see somebody else is in there. It's Giannis, the superstar." He says, that's the way this guy is. He's so driven. And that's what he expects from his teammates as well. So Giannis is there in the New York Times saying, if I don't feel a franchise, whoever I'm working for isn't all in, everybody in the building, I can't play there. I'm here to win championships. So then last week, you start hearing about Damian Lillard wants out of the Trailblazers because they're in a total rebuild, and he's like 33. He's scoring over 30 points a game last year, but it didn't seem like the Trailblazers had anything cooking. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, John Horst, GM, friends with Joe, the GM over there in Portland, and he sets up this deal involving eight players and three teams. Grayson Allen from the Bucks ends up going to Phoenix, and Drew Holiday and some future draft picks are going to Portland. And Drew just did an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel like 3 days ago saying, yeah, I know I could have been better in certain ways, but I really love Milwaukee and I really hope to be back. And, you know, 48 hours later, he learns, yeah, you've just been sent to Portland, who's probably going to use him for a year and then move on.
Ooh, if that. If they don't trade him before he even puts on a jersey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, do you know when Giannis was the captain of the East for the All-Star break, you know who the first player he picked was?
Yep.
Damian Lillard. This is all to keep Giannis happy. The next story coming out of the Bucks headquarters, Giannis signs the extension.
I agree.
The assistant coach that one of the Griffin hired, Terry Stotts, worked with Damian all those years.
Yeah. You did a couple of things here, Mike. No Kareem. This isn't going to be a Kareem situation. I agree with you. I think the next news coming out of Milwaukee is Giannis signing this extension. You keep this once-in-a-lifetime talent in Milwaukee. You've done that. You've also kept him from going to New York or Miami. And you kept your Dame from going to Miami. So you took Pat Riley's milkshake. The three of us are old enough to know what that statement means. Pat Riley doesn't have that happen.
And dipped his fries in his ketchup.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty impressive right there. And just the fact of you do keep him happy, but you also you keep him from going to another team, possibly. Not just Dame going to another team, but him going to another team. I've heard some people say on the Mouse Network, well, the back end of this Dame contract is really nasty. Well, so would have been the Drew Holiday contract if you re-signed Drew, if he chose to re-sign here. I love Drew Holiday. Big fan. I don't think they win a championship without him. Damian Lillard is another is a freak of a talent. He's number 6 on the all-time three-point list. He is the guy eats for breakfast in the morning, anxiety and stress and determination. He is such a great fit for this team. I may be closer to the basketball season. We can talk more about this. I know we had you on for football, but I had to talk. I get your take on this a little bit. Thank you for humoring
me. I'm picking at some watermelon right now. What does that say about me?
Mike, this game tonight, what stands out to you about Detroit and Green Bay?
Well, you know, I mean, Dan Campbell, tight end, played a couple of years in Detroit. An assistant coach with Sean Payton down there all those years with the Saints, finally gets his shot, comes to Detroit and says, you know, Detroit is a resilient city. It's been knocked down. It's gone through so much. And that's kind of what their football team is like. And I think that we got a chance here. And we're going to get knocked down, we're going to get up, and we're going to bite people in the kneecap. And it's like, what? Guess what? It's working.
Yeah.
He has changed the damn culture in Detroit. It's unbelievable. He brings in physical guys. They play all four quarters. Why do you think that we call them the Detroit Kitties? Mm-hmm. Because you could almost set your watch to it. And I think somehow, he maybe the other thing is that there had to have been a change in the way the Ford family treated that franchise, because there's too many coaches, including Jimmy Caldwell, who went to my high school in Beloit in Wisconsin, who would go into Detroit. They would do the research, say, yeah, the linebacker. We're going to take the linebacker. We got the third pick overall, and this is going to be just the thing we need to help us out on defense and all around. And then draft day, someone from the Ford family wandered into the draft room saying, yeah, you're going to take that receiver that Mel Kiper's talking about, right?
Yeah.
And that's what made the difference all those years. So here they are. They've now beaten the Packers 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
They are a tough physical team. They got some of their own injuries, you know, in the secondary, too, because I was just looking at the injury report that we got. We got an extra one last night. But Kirby Joseph, he's the guy that had picked off Rodgers twice. And he's been dealing with a hip injury. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. Jared Goff, when I looked at them, I just watched the film last night of this 37-31-32 loss to the Seahawks. But they went into overtime. But Jared Goff has settled down. I mean, he's much more in command, you know, going to his second, third year in Detroit. And so that's a positive for them. These guys are physical, they're tough, and I thought that was an extremely good performance they had the opening night against the Kansas City Chiefs. They mm-hmm. brought it to Arrowhead mm-hmm. and hung in there and ran some trick plays. Remember the fake punt deep in their own territory?
Yeah, that was something.
to flip that game. So they are fearless, and they're going to be a handful tonight. They're 1.5-point favorites. There's a difference, though, in Green Bay, and that is you got the ball in your hands, and you had a 12-point lead. We're down there in Atlanta. I'm covering these road games for us as well. Mm-hmm. And then now there's Jordan Love, and he's got about a minute left, and they just get into field goal range. You got your new kicker there that could kick the ball 70 yards. And he goes like 4 incompletions in a row, 5, and the game's essentially over. The difference in Sunday's comeback win, where they end up putting up 18 to win 18-17 over a veterans Saints defense, was they lined up one drive early in the fourth quarter, and I thought, okay, now this just looks different. They look settled. He's under center. Snap, step, look, zip, out, pick up a 7, and they're moving the chains down the field consistently. And I thought, is this a 2-minute offense here? Because when you're at practice, you see them do this during training camp, like every day. At the end of practice, when they're tired and sort of, simulates what the fourth quarter is going to feel like physically, they drill them on this 2-minute offense, and Jordan Love ends up looking at his best instead of, some play we rehearsed 3 or 4 times. We talked about it, in the classroom, and now you're trying to take this shot 55 yards downfield, and you miss. They're in that move the chains offense, and that's how they end up winning the game. And Samari Torrey, who's also growing in my estimation, number 83, second-year receiver, said, "Yeah," he said, "Yeah, you're right. We were in 2-minute offense." And he said, "We didn't have to think anymore. You didn't have to think about, okay, X, Y, Z, zebra left. What then you come to the line and you say, okay, where's the safety? Okay, here. All right. Then you run the play." He said, "In that, we don't care what they're running. We just move the ball down the field." And we got into our rhythm, and then you can't stop us. And so that's the lesson learned. It's also, it reminds you, they're all rookies, man.
Yeah.
This
is
their third game.
Yeah, exactly.
Second year. And you see them ascending and getting better and finding ways to fix things. One other thing that just occurred to me last night about the loss to the Falcons, Jerry Gray, your secondary coach that you had for the last 2 or 3 years, you know what he's doing? He's Arthur Smith's like assistant head coach. You don't think he had some stuff on these guys?
Yeah,
on
true.
Some of those plays that they were going to pull out in that weekend in Atlanta, that didn't hurt them. That didn't hurt Arthur Smith and the Falcons either.
Mike, we'll get you out of here on this, and thank you again for the time. When it comes to this game tonight and for Green Bay, a team that is in such a weird position where they had been building for Super Bowls for so long, and now it's not, I don't know, you would call it a rebuild, but you got to figure out what you got in Jordan Love and this team. You don't have a lot to gauge that against. You gauge your team against good teams. In this division, you've got a joke in Chicago. You have Minnesota that can't hang on to the damn ball. Detroit might be the only decent team to kind of size yourself up against. Do you see it that way, or am I underplaying? Am I just a homer, and I see nothing but destruction and devastation in Chicago, and Minnesota just, again, can't hang on to the ball?
The NFL saw it that way in May. Mm-hmm. That's why they put Detroit up against the Super Bowl champs the opening night.
That's
and
true.
The ratings were just through the roof. And that's why they put Detroit in a primetime game tonight at Lambeau Field. It's good TV. Yeah. It's numbers. We're into the September ratings period. Mm-hmm. And the next time they play is the traditional one against the Packers on Thanksgiving Day. The league thought the Lions are the team to beat in that NFC North division.
That's a great point.
That's what everybody in the league thinks.
The latest on Aaron Jones, before we go, anything recent on him?
I think so. He's running into the end zone on a 35-yard pass, grabs the back of his left knee, says in the locker room, "Oh, I know what a hamstring tear is. It's a tweak. It's a bite." He called it a bite. Well, he ends up missing the next 2 games, and this week, they're not really practicing. They're for both teams. It's dress rehearsal. It's from the head up, as they call it. So it's not like they're really out there running him around. But, he's listed as questionable. I don't know if it's a game-time decision or if they decided last night that he's a go or no-go. One guy speculated, to LaFleur and said, Oh, I get it. You know, you're going to hold this guy from the Saints game, so you have him for that game next week against your division opponent, the Lions, right? Mm. And LaFleur said, no, if you're ready to play, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and then Christian Watson, you know, week two, I mean, the Watson thing, the knee surgery last year, then a hamstring, but then once he finally got healthy, oh, my God, what he did against the Cowboys and, you know, Aaron Rodgers used him. And stop throwing deep balls to him all the time.
Yeah.
All you got to do is get the ball in his hands behind the linebackers, and no one can stop him. He's so fast. He says, when you said, well, what do you think about Thursday night? He goes, that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Noah Fleur said, you know, I'm glad that he's excited and thinks he's now 100% from his hamstring injury, that he missed the first three games. But he said, the doctors will be making that decision. Mm. Here's the other one, though. Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Mm.
Missing back-to-back games. And the thing is that we learned in talking to Dave for a half hour about a week and a half ago was it's not just inflammation. It's not just draining fluid from the left knee that he suffers the torn ACL on New Year's Eve in 2020 and has only played in 13 games since then at $23 million a year. It's the pain. He's mm-hmm. dealing with pain. Mm-hmm. He gets to a point where the threshold is it's so difficult. And he says, I don't know what normal feels like, but there's some points where – it gets so locked up. I mean, I just, it's the stiffness. I can't move the knee. But he says, I still want to do this because I'm beating their best defensive lineman on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of groove on that. I think that's kind of cool.
It is.
So if he plays tonight, that'll be great. If he doesn't, it's another huge question mark down the road.
We will find out tonight on the NFL Network for this game. It should be a good one. Detroit, Green Bay.
I think it's Amazon Prime.
It's Amazon
right?
Prime. I knew as I was saying it. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I can't keep up half the time nowadays.
No.
But it will be on Amazon Prime tonight. You can catch it right there. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk next week and talk some more football.
Thank you, boys. Enjoy the game.
You too. Have a great one. Thanks, Mike. Mike
thanks,
Clemens
Mike.
Joining us there. We appreciate him.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. Come back and wrap up the show on Mornings with WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Big thank you to Mike Clemens for joining us.
Yeah, very nice.
Madison Rafter from the Humane Society. It's been a fun morning.
Yeah, lots of cool people talking to us.
Little Tears for Fears gets it going.
Yeah.
As we go into a That Ain't Right story of the day to get
all
to
right.
some good. We have to go through this to get to the good. Have you gotten your Halloween costume picked out yet?
Jeez.
Looks like this person hit Spirit Halloween a little early. A state trooper in Washington State posted a pic after someone was caught using the carpool lane with a Halloween mask strapped to the passenger seat. They looped it around the top and draped a vest around the seat to make it look like a person. And I say look like a person very loosely.
Loosely.
But unless you only glanced, it wouldn't fool. I don't think Ray Charles would have been fooled by this. We found the mask online, and Spirit Halloween does sell it. It's a white mask with glowing orange wires across the mouth, so it looks like lips are sewn shut. Why you would use this mask?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't even come close to looking like a person.
No, it's not.
If you bought one, like, Spirit Halloween has, like, Richard Nixon masks and, like, you know, those kind of, like, I would use one of those.
Why use this one? If nothing else, if someone gets a good look, oh, my God, what is that, you know?
Yeah.
Call the police.
They're going to call the police for one reason or another.
Exactly.
Whatever it might be.
Oh, boy.
The driver was cited with an HOV violation in Washington. The minimum fine is $186.
Ouch.
Or if it's not their first offense, it could be $336.
Wow.
And whatever it is, it's going to be a lot more than that mask cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That ain't,
wasn't worth it.
That ain't right, man.
No.
I don't know. You can't be doing that. and let's get into some. We need a palate cleanser.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
Get into some good stories.
Weird stuff, man. Weird.
We've got good stuff going on in our area. We want to tell you about it. And of course, it's Thursday. That means the farmer's market going on over.
Still going on.
Still going. Got a little bit longer with this
mm-hmm.
one. Fresh flowers, locally grown fruits and vegetables, baked goods, free activities for kids. Plenty going on at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggins Street till 2 o'clock today. They already opened up down there.
Yes, they did.
And if you can't get there today, you got Saturdays. So Thursday, Saturdays, 8 to 2. to the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market going on at First Avenue South, right there between West Grand and Goggins.
And as soon as it ends outside, it's moving indoors. So the winter's market's going to open up at the Moravian Church in the middle of October. So
we have got some great homecoming action going on. Some of it today, 6 o'clock in Port Edwards. They have their homecoming parade going on at 6 o'clock today in Port. Community pep rally at the Port Edwards High School gym following the parade, with a bonfire to follow on the north side of the high school. Then tomorrow, Port Edwards hosts Tri-County in the homecoming game at Port Edwards High School. And Lincoln's got their homecoming tomorrow. We'll tell you a little bit more about that then.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Science by the River going on this Saturday.
Cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We encourage you to check it out and be listening to our interviews today, because today from 3 to 4 in part 1, two of our favorite people, Stephen and Katrina Hittner.
Very nice.
We're going to talk a little family natural foods. Looking forward to that.
Okay.
In part 2, Kayla Rombalski is going to join us from UW Extension, and we're going to talk about Science by the River.
Very cool.
Tell you more about it then. Looking forward to it. And
yep.
Seth, we want to remind people about this great event coming up over in your neck of the woods.
The community book sale is coming in the middle of October, the 12th, 13th, and the 14th. They're still collecting books through Saturday, through September 30th. So if you still have some books out there that you don't need, you think someone else would like to purchase, you can bring those over to the Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. You can also call them at 423-0180. And just a reminder, when the book sale is going on from 8:30 to 6 on the 12th and 13th, 8:30 to 2 on Saturday the 14th, remember that 100% of the profits go to the Mid-State Technical College Scholarships. There's going to be baked goods, kids' activities, coffee while you browse. We do accept credit cards and all that. And it's most books, of course, only a dollar. Mm-hmm. So fill up your bags. We have bags available to for purchase as well. Buy your bag, fill it up. And get reading, yeah. Everybody.
Yes.
Get ready for winter. Get to curl up with a good book.
We'll talk more about that coming up. Looking forward to that event as one of our favorite community events. Be sure to join Seth tonight at 7 o'clock for Trail Tunes on WIRI, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI.
That's right.
A dog in Orlando got hit by a motorcycle this month and needed surgery. So kids in the neighborhood opened a lemonade stand and raised $400 to help cover the vet bills.
Aww. That's awesome.
It's so cool.
All right. That's
a cool story.
Old school.
A woman in Australia, this is a great video if you need a palate cleanser, need a nice up moment. A woman in Australia was getting out of an Uber and stopped to tell the driver he reminded her of her son who passed away last year.
Aww.
His dash cam video got it all on, and he immediately asked her if he could give her a hug. And it's just a sweet moment between strangers.
Oh.
I need more of that.
It's lovely, yes.
And a 21-year-old in Maryland named Lawrence Sapp has autism. And he was struggling to get his driver's license because he couldn't pass the written exam. He knew the answers. He just had problem with wording and failed it around 20 times.
Wow.
But his mom cited the Americans with Disabilities Act and asked the DMV if they'd be willing to tweak the test to make it more like the practice exams. They eventually agreed. And when he took it again, he got a perfect score.
Perfect score.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That is pretty darn cool. You're all pretty cool. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Again, a big thank you to Madison Rafter, New Maine Society, joining us with our Pet of the Week. Mike Clemens joining us, talking some sports.
Yep.
And all of you for being here. And thank you, Seth. Great show.
It was fun.
Have a good day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.